Ramsey TV.
The shakes. Don't be alarmed. That's just me mixing it up. That's just me having fun. After all, I'm in South Florida. The sun shines most of the time. Although in my introduction, which you just watched, I should send you some. I should show you some behind-the-scenes clips sometimes. I was ready to do that introduction. I think it was in fall of 2017, was it? 16 or 17? I don't even know. I'll find out. And I was waiting for the perfect Florida day. I was going to do the typical postcard Florida introduction. Sun, beach, blah, blah, blah. I was looking at the forecast, and it was horrible. The forecast was calling for rain, and it was a... And on top of that, it was a tropical storm the day I wanted to start my video series. No, the day before. And so I said, I'm screwed. Look at this weather. Then I thought, make lemonade out of this. So then I got the irony of, Florida, the sunshine state. And look at it. It's raining. I went into the house. I was on a run when I came to this conclusion, being soaked to the skin. I said, Juliana, can you go with me up to Los Olas Boulevard? I want to shoot an introduction in the rain. She was game and she went for it. Martin Zender here. And I love this whole topic, not the intro topic, but I will show you some behind the scenes stuff. It's kind of fun. This whole thing of not fighting sin, the whole thing of trusting the Spirit is so bold of a walk. And God loves it because you trust God. That's the bottom line. It's trusting God, not your flesh. And God loves it when that happens. And it doesn't seem like it's going to work. And again, it's not our job whether it works or not. I mean, this is just what we do. We're not supposed to monitor it afterwards and say, well, I expected more results by this time. This is God's walk. This is God's thing. It's God's timetable. You just focus on the Spirit and things will take care of themselves. I mean, it seems crazy, but that's what happens. Now, walking in spirit. By the way, I'm Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. Glad to have you here for another week of bombastic scriptural excellence. Just going by the Word of God here. Just going by the Word of God. I love this idea of walking in spirit because spirit is the opposite of flesh. Grace is the opposite of law. And to many people, this seems too easy. It's like, well, you guys are cutting corners. You guys just don't want to work hard. No, I'm sorry, but we tried working hard and it didn't work. We tried being resolute. We tried making New Year's resolutions and it didn't work. It's a frustrating walk continuously to try to cure flesh with flesh. So we turn to the Spirit of God and that's the easiest thing. Now, I left off in Galatians 5 with all those sins and those committing such things. Paul says, we'll not be enjoying an allotment of the kingdom of God. Watch the show on Friday. Can't remember the name of it. What was the name of that? Can we sin ourselves out of salvation? The answer is no, I'm happy to report. So on Friday, I left off with this long list of things that would disqualify a person from ruling and reigning in Christ and with Christ, but not disown you from salvation. Impossible, because we're saved apart from our acts. Now look what follows. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. I'm in Galatians 5 verse 22. Against such things there is no law. The difference between grace and law could not be more profound. Because grace is an operation of God. Law is an operation of flesh. Law is presented as an operation of flesh. And by divine design, law, that is, I mean, the law is perfect, but humans attempting law will fail and fail and fail. So the fruit of the Spirit. Spirit is the operation of God. There, end of story. It's the operation of God that works through a human vessel, in whom the Spirit of God operates. And the fruit of that Spirit in you, which is a divine operation, God puts it in. Every human being has enough Spirit to stand on his or her own two feet, because Spirit is life, it animates life, but It's the difference of the dosage. It's the difference of the amount of spirit in you. And again, can you generate spirit? You don't even know where, you don't even know how it comes. We know where it comes from. It comes from God, but we don't know how it gets here. It's a complete operation of God. Paul in Ephesians prays that we come to a realization of the truth. That takes the Spirit of God. So indirectly, we're supposed to pray for the Spirit of God. We pray for it by asking God for revelation, for a realization of the truth. And what I'm giving you here now is truth, and it seems too easy. It seems like, oh, this is an excuse for just not living a disciplined lifestyle, but it's not. But it's not. It's not. This Spirit has power. And if you don't, if somebody or someone it doesn't trust it, then you're basically not trusting the power of God. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, all these things I just mentioned, and against such things there is no law. There is no law. No law can produce what the Spirit can produce. People ask me, excuse me, say, Martin, in Romans, Paul says that the nations who have no law do the righteous demands of the law, but they don't do it by way of law. How does this work? Well, the law says thou shalt not commit murder. But as we know, the people, the very people who were the holders of this law, the Jews, they murdered the Messiah and they murdered the prophets. So the one of the worst things they weren't supposed to do, they did. Because the flesh is useless. But the Spirit now has fruit. When the Spirit of God is in you, love, joy, peace. If you love someone, you won't murder them. Am I the only guy? That's my experience. So you end up fulfilling the dictates of the law, but you don't do it by way of law. That's the whole thing. People say, well, you guys are against law. No, we're not against law. The law is perfect. We're just not under the law. Well, what about when God says, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal? What about all those things? Well, we end up not doing any of those things. Well, how can that be if you don't do law? Because we do it by the Spirit of God operating in us. That Spirit has fruit. And Paul says, against such things there is no law. So it's a much more efficient way. It's a much more effective way. Now, here's the thing in verse 24. I'm going to get to Galatians chapter 2, as I promised, and then Romans chapter 8. And then after that, I think I'm going to get back to Romans 6. Paul says, now the fruit of the Spirit is all these things. Now those of Christ Jesus crucify the flesh together with its passions and lusts. Going to get to that. So juicy. That's going to be the rest of the show. So juicy. Love that. I love it. If we may be living in spirit we may be observing the elements also. In spirit, we're observing the elements. This is so counterintuitive, because when you hear you're observing certain elements, you might as well say observing certain laws. It sounds like that guy's doing the right thing. That girl's really focused on not being a sinner. That person is really focused on getting rid of the flesh. But that only exacerbates the flesh. Paul says this in Romans chapter 7. So if we may be living in spirit we may be observing the elements. I can't tell you how easy spirit is. Spirit is invisible. It's the power of God, and it operates in you in spite of you. It does the work. And I'm not saying like you're on autopilot, but in a way you are on autopilot, because you suddenly find yourself doing things, doing right things, doing loving things, not all the time, because we have the Spirit in measure. Jesus Christ had it without measure. We have it with measure. But you find yourself doing these things, and you think, how am I doing this? And the reason is the Spirit of God is operating in you. But as I said on Friday, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh, lest you may be doing whatever you may want. So you're not going to be able to do all the good things you want, but you're also not going to be able to do all the bad things you want. Just to review from Friday. So if we may be living in spirit we may be observing the elements also, we may not become vainglorious. there you go. How can you become vainglorious? How can you become like, yes, look at me. I led a sinless week last week. Yeah, which followed a sinful week the week before. But That's vainglory. But if you honestly understand that this is an operation of the Spirit of God, then you can't be vainglorious. You can't be boasting about it. Challenging one another. Listen to this. Paul says, we may not become vainglorious. Challenging one another. Envying one another. End of chapter 5. Challenging one another. Envying one another. Now, the Christians would say this is a fleshly activity. Well, challenging one another. I don't know what they think that is. A gladiator contest? Envying one another? What do they think? That it has something to do with your new car? Your new wife? Somebody envies you or whatever? No, it's not that at all. It's challenging one another in the flesh. And by the flesh, I mean the attempt to live by the elements apart from spirit. That's, you have to look at the context. The context is either we're walking by law and trying to do the law by fleshly means, or we're being operated by the Spirit of God, and we're doing these things because of the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul follows all those sins I spoke of on Friday with the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, and again, he knows that the only way you even have a chance of overcoming these things of the flesh is by the Spirit of God. And if that's the case, then if we may be living in spirit, how great does that sound? Living in spirit. It's like you live in your house, you live in spirit. The Spirit of God operates in you. This stuff will happen. It's almost risky to say this, but I'm going to say it effortlessly. Effortlessly. It flows out of you. You don't have to squint. You don't have to go into your room and concentrate on how to be a just person. It comes out of you. Because the Spirit of God is intangible. It's the power of God. It's the operation of God. And you pray for it. I'm not telling you not to. But when it comes into you, it does stuff. And all these fruit. That's my way of saying it. The Spirit of God does stuff. What does it do, Martin? Well, it produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law. Sorry, those of you who want to follow the law, out the door. So we may not become vainglorious, challenging one another. I hate to say this, but I will. In the Christian world, they're challenging one another to be righteous for Christ. They're challenging one another. They're not submitting themselves to God, to the Spirit of God. They're challenging one another. And this was Paul as a Pharisee. He would know about this. We may not become vainglorious. And the context, the whole context is your flesh. The whole context is conquering the flesh. It's not indulging it. It's trying to conquer it. And people become vainglorious when they try to conquer it in the flesh. And again, like I said, you can't conquer flesh with flesh. That's stupid because flesh is weak. Oh, I know. I'll conquer a weakness with my weakness. No, it doesn't work that way. There's something that happens from without that must be the remedy, and that is the Spirit of God. So if we may be living in spirit we may be observing the elements. We may not become vainglorious, challenging one another, envying one another. Christians envy other people's walk. They look at, I'm telling you, they have all their lives on a graph. A sin graph. And they're constantly analyzing. And they're looking at like the stock market. Oh, you were sinning a lot last week. Oh, you're down in the dumps now. Oh, look at your stock just went up. They're challenging one another. The whole Christian religion is one giant program against sin. It's not a relaxing walk. It's not something where you admire the work of Christ on the cross. They don't even know what Christ did on the cross. To hear them, he did nothing on the cross because it's still left for them to not only believe in Jesus Christ of their own free will, but to keep it going with good works. And they put their walks on graph. They envy one another. They challenge one another. This has nothing to do with challenging somebody to some fleshly contest. Well, it is a fleshly contest, but it's not like challenging one another to some sporting feat. This is challenging other people to be righteous. That's what this is. Envying one another. Screw that. Paul says, I don't compare myself with other people. All right, but what about this phrase? Now, those of Christ Jesus crucify the flesh together with its passions and lusts. All right, this goes back to Romans 8:13. I'm going to read that verse real quick. Romans 8:13. It's Speaking of passions and lusts, if you are living in accord with flesh, you are about to be dying. Yet if in spirit you are putting the practices of the body to death, you will be living. Now, when you hear putting the practices of the body to death, and when you look here and it says crucify the flesh together with its passions and lusts, put the practices of the body to death. Look at this with new eyes after all what you learned last week. The only way you can put the practices of the flesh, which are sins, to death is if you have practices of the flesh. Again, this point is moot if we're perfected. So Paul's saying, take these, and I told you, Romans is all about what to do after you sin, not how to keep you from sinning. So put the practices to death. That is, like I told you, the things you do, the sin you produce in your life simply because you're a son or daughter of Adam, put that to death. Put that to death. Put the practices to death. Paul's not saying don't practice these things because he knows that's not going to work. We try that. It's called the law of Moses. Don't do this. Don't do that. So Paul says put these practices to death. And again, in order to put them to death, you have to have them. So when we come back here to Galatians, those of Christ Jesus, and again, that's his exalted title, Christ Jesus, that's him at the right hand of God, not Jesus Christ. Paul uses exclusively the phrase Christ Jesus. It links us, first of all, with his glory. Those of Christ Jesus crucify the flesh together with its passions and lusts. Once again, linking this to Romans 8:13. Unless you have passions and lusts, you can't do this. It's required for you to have passions and lusts in order to follow Paul's instructions here. Again, Paul's instructions in Galatians and in Romans is not how not to sin. This is what to do with sin once you manifest it. What to do with passions and lusts after they've been presented, after you've done it. That's critical then. It's critical time. After you sin, now is the most critical time. You sinned. You did something wrong. Well, of course, you know, I don't recommend it. We try not to do it, but you're a son and a daughter of Adam, so you're going to do it. And here's where everybody trips, because now it is vitally important what you do after you produce a passion and lust, or after you produce a practice that is, let's just say, discolored. It's vital, because this is where Satan moves in. Satan moves in at this point after you've produced something, a passion or a lust, and he says, like I told you before, I'm saying it again, you're not justified. Look what you just did. Oh my God, you're going to have to get into a church. You need counseling. You need this. You need that. And Satan wants to get you into a religious system. That's his ploy. That's his modus operandi. He does that every time. He preys upon your practices and your lusts and your passions. He preys on it. And Paul's saying the most important thing you can do is crucify it. That is, ignore it. Now, Paul says to crucify your passions and lusts. He doesn't say a frontal attack. I'm going to end with this because this is great. How did crucified people die? I mean, this is a terrible topic. I hate crucifixion. Not one of my favorite topics. I hate it. Martin Zinner, what do you think of crucifixion? I hate it. People never died of crucifixion. Martin Zinner, what the hell are you talking about? They never died of crucifixion. Paul says, crucify your passions and lusts. Nobody ever died of crucifixion. Crucifixion keeps you from going to the cafeteria. It keeps you from going to get a drink. It keeps you from getting the oxygen that you need. It starves you of everything you need to survive. That's what crucifixion does. Because when you crucify people, they don't die. They just sit there. They can't. They're just pinned to a stake. It's horrible, but they can't get off. They can't sustain their life. It's not like a frontal attack. Frontal attacks against our sins, our passions, our lusts is worthless. It makes things worse. Read Romans chapter 7. Paul says, crucify your passions and lusts. In other words, take these things that you did, put them on the cross. Hey, that's so appropriate because we died with Christ. Gotta get to that tomorrow with Galatians 2. Thought I might get to it today. I'm not. Put these things on the cross where they will die of starvation because they're not getting your attention. You don't go in to kill them. Go and kill your flesh. Struggle against your flesh. That's the Christian method. Paul says, crucify your passions and lusts. It's so appropriate that he says crucify. He doesn't say again stab them. He doesn't say shoot them with a gun. He doesn't say run after them, shoot them with whatever artillery you have at your disposal. No, crucify the passions and lusts. That is, put them on the stake with Christ who died for them and then walk away from them. And like they will die of starvation. Again, crucified people never died of crucifixion. They died because they couldn't get the sustenance that they need to live. Sin needs your attention. It needs your fretting. It needs your worrying in order to survive. So when Paul says, those of Christ Jesus, those who are walking according to Spirit, they crucify. They put these things that they're doing on the stake and they don't worry about them. And that's the worst thing that can happen to them because, again, Satan wants to engage you. You are disengaged from this battle. That sounds like the most unspiritual advice I can give you. Disengage from the battle against your flesh. Doesn't sound like spiritual advice, but it's the most spiritual advice you can get.